Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. Today's daf is daf mem ches. So we got two lines down. The Gemara says, Rabba Rabbi Zera iklai lebe reish kalusa. One time, both Rabba and Rabbi Zera were visiting the house of the reish kalusa. And chazu laho avda. They saw one of the avadim in the house of the reish kalusa. We have many stories in the Gemara where the avadim, the workers, the slaves that were in the house of reish kalusa were not doing the appropriate thing. So one occasion, they saw chazu laho avda danak kuza demaya apuma de kumkuma. They saw that Eva was taking a kuza, a kettle of water, and placed on top of another kumkuma, another type of a kettle. Rashi explains here, apuma de kumkuma, mecha machamim v'akuzaisa melea tzonim. So the kuza, the little pot, was holding cold water. They placed the pot of cold water on top of a hot kettle that was burning hot. So what happened? So the Gemara says that, so Nazir Rabba let out this grunt of some sort. He was very upset because obviously something was going on wrong there. So Amar Le Rabbi Zera said, now, I think the conversation was between Rabba and Rabbi Zera. They're very scared of the Reish Kalusa, very scared at what went on there. So they didn't say anything directly to the Reish Kalusa, but they were to themselves, they're having some quiet conversation. So again, Rabba let out this grunt of some sort. And Amar Le Rabbi Zera says to Maishna, so what's wrong with this? Maishna Mecham Agabe Mecham. Why is it any different? We learned a few days ago, a couple weeks ago, we're going to learn in a few days, that Mecham Agabe Mecham is mutter. You could place a hot kettle of water on top of another hot kettle of water. And the Gemara says, Rabba back, Amar Le, Hasam there. The reason why it's permitted is because Okumu Kamokim, Bahacha Oluda Kamolim. In that case, when the Gemara says you're allowed to place Mecham Agabe Mecham, it's only because the top kettle is also hot. As Rashi says, Hasam Okumu Mokim Sheha Mecham Ha'elyam. The top kettle, Gambo Yeshma Maim Cham, there's also hot water in it. Vatachton Eina Ela Mamid Chomo Shelo Yafik. And the bottom is simply preserving the heat, but it's not generating heat. But here, in this case, what the Evid of the Reish Kalusa is doing is putting cold water on top, and that would be a violation of Bishul. So then the Gemara says, Hader Chazin, then they saw further that the Evid was Paris Das Dotar Apume de Kuba. He was placing some type of cloth on top of the kettle, the bottle, the anach natli ilave, and then he placed a ladle on top of it. The Nazir Rabba yet again got upset. He groaned, so he put again on top of the kettle some type of cloth covering, and put the ladle on top of the cloth and bent down the cloth in order to scoop out the water, the soup, whatever he was using exactly. So again, he was very upset as to what was going on. So Amar Le Rabbi Zera, Amai. Rabbi Zera says to Rabba, why are you upset now? So Amar Le, he says to them, Hashta Chazes. You'll see now. Just wait just a moment. Lasof Chazya, the Kama'atzer Le. Then he saw he was being Ma'atzer Le. What does Ma'atzer mean? So Rashi says, the Kama'atzer, Shaya Sochto Minamayim Shinivlu Bo. He started to wring out the cloth from the water that got absorbed in that. And that's a violation of Schita. So Amar Le, so he says to them, Maishna mi pronka. Why is it any different than a pronka? What's a pronka? Rashi says, it's a beged ha'asr lifros al gigas, some type of cloth they put on top of a barrel. Shepor sinosa b'shabbos, they put it on Shabbos. So why is that allowed? Why are we not concerned that they're going to do schita in that case? And Amar Le, he says back, Hasam lo kapi de lave. There, they don't care about that cloth on top of the barrel. Hacha kapi de lave. Here, they do care about the cloth that the Ebed placed on top of it. In other words, the cloth that the Ebed was using, he didn't want there to be water in it. I'm not sure why he put it in the first place. Maybe to somehow serve as a separator between the food that's in the bottom of the soup. I'm not sure exactly. But either way, it was clear that he wanted the cloth to be wrung out. But when it comes to the cloth on top of the barrel, it's meant for that. Rashi explains here that lo kapela im shari b'mayim. They don't care if the cloth that's over the barrel is soaked in water. Sharei l'chach asa. That's why it was made. It was meant for that purpose. V'lo asa li dei tzchita. But this case, apparently the Edward was using a type of material that he did not want to be wet, and therefore he was going to wring it, and in fact he did wring it. So the Mefarshim asked the question, the Malei Harom asks in the back, I don't understand. If Rabba saw and he knew that this Eved was going to come to do Schita, shouldn't Rabba have stopped him? Why didn't he stop him? So Lanias Daiti, just a suggestion, maybe because the house of Reish Kalusa, again, we have a number of Gemaras that they're very scared about the Avadim of Reish Kalusa. There's a fascinating Maisa with Rav Sheshes, who was blind, and the Avadim of Reish Kalusa tried serving him Avram and Achai, and Rav Sheshes was able to trick them, and then he tried setting up a pit to have Rav Sheshes fall into a pit. So perhaps they were just scared as to what was going on. Maybe that's why he didn't want to say anything to the Eved. But the Melah HaRoma answered the question, the Eved was a guy. He was a guy, and therefore it wasn't an issue. So So if it was a goy, it wasn't an issue, so why did Rabbi get upset about this? So the Milah Rama explains, because he was scared, if the Nachri, if the goy is doing this on Shabbos and wringing out the clothing, then perhaps others who are Jewish in the base Reish Galus are perhaps doing the same thing. That was his concern. The Sfas Emes says that, no, Taka Rabbi didn't let him do it. Rabbi says he was about to do it, and Rabbi stopped him, but Rabbi just wanted to Reb Zera to see how close he was going to get to the point of him almost squeezing it out, and that's why that's why he got upset. So another question, interesting thing comes out. Rashi points out that when a person squeezes out water from the cloth, there's a violation of schita. And Rabbeinu Tam writes in a couple places, and the Ritva as well writes that when there's schita of a suda, of a handkerchief, there's a violation of it's a mlach of a libun. It's a violation of a libun, but libun applies only when there's water, not when there's wine. So it has to be a case of water here, because libun is when you whiten something. So when you remove the water, it's considered a libun. But there is a shita of Tosos and others that say that even if it were to be wine, it would still be subject to schita. It's still considered libun in that case. In other words, if there's a machlokus, we've shown him whether libun applies only when you're wringing out water, or even when you're wringing out wine or other types of colored drinks. Why? Why would you say libun by wine or not? Because when you wring out wine, granted you've now had wine, but the clothing is still dirty. So that's not libun. It doesn't become white. So why would one think there is a melacha libun when wringing out wine? So I think the answer is one of two things. Either the melacha libun, it's still relevant because you're making it less purple. It's more white than it was before. You don't have to have it completely white. As long as it's more white than it was before, that might be a violation of libun. Or perhaps libun is a different type of thing we understand. Libun may not be about cleaning the cloth, but it might be about producing and generating liquid. So the wine was in the cloth, and now you've wrung it out. Now the wine is available to drink, and you've created that wine. Oh, granted, the clothing is still dirty, but you've now created new wine. So these are one or two reasons why libun might be shayach even when coming to wine. So let's go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Lo betevin. So we spoke about different types of materials in the Mishnah that one may not insulate using. So by Minei Rav Ad the Bar Masi asked the question, Me'abaye. Mochin shetamin behen mal l'taltalon b'shabbos. So mochin is some type of soft cotton or soft wool that is understood to be a muksa, machmas chesun kis, as we discussed. It's material that people don't want to get ruined. So what if you taka use it to do atmana? You put your food in the mochin, so now is that permitted to be moved? So the Gemara says, Amrlei, v'chim ibnesh ein lo kupa shel teven, omeid mafkir kupa shel mochin. Just because a guy doesn't have an available box of straw is very worthless, and therefore people don't care about it. It's not muksa machmas chesun kis. So just because a guy doesn't have any straw available, he's now going to be mafkir his mochin, and it's not muksa machmas chesun kis anymore, and he could use it? Certainly not. I mean, a person will never mafkir his mochin. And even though the guy decided to do hatmana using his mochin, and there's no violation of hatmana there, but the mochin still remain muksa machmas chesun kis, and there is no heter to move it. So then the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, let's say this supports the following statement. We have a din, it's brought down in the Gemara Babasra, that Tomnim Begize Tzemer, Mitzipe Tzemer, Ublishonos Shargman, Uve Mochin. So you are doing Hatman in various types of materials. The different materials are as follows. That's either Begize Tzemer, which is the shearings of wool, Tzipe Tzemer, which are combed wool, and Ublishonos Shargman, which are strips of purple wool. So these different types of materials. So if one does this, the din is ve'ein metalton asal, and you're not allowed to move them. So this is the same exact statement here, that if you bury in mochen, you can't move it. So Gemara says, imishimha, if your raya is from that Gemara in Balabasra, halo iria. That's not so such a raya, because maybe that Gemara could be interpreted to say as follows. Halchi kamar, maybe it should say, imlo tamun behem ein metalton asal. What really the Gemara in Balabasra is saying, that if you do tomnin, then you can move it. But it's just, but ilo, if you don't, so these things are muksa. So the Gemara says, yihachi, my lemeimba. Well, if you don't do atamana in them, of course they're muksa. What's the chiddush? Of course these materials are muksa. Why would you think not? What's the chiddush of the Gemara? E lo tamin ba. If you don't do insulation, then you can't move it. Of course you can't move it. These are muksa machmas chesun kis. And so the Gemara answers, Mal de Seima, Chazir, the Mazgi Alayu, maybe these things should not be muksa because there's a purpose. The purpose is that since you could lie down on these things as a blanket of some sort, therefore maybe they shouldn't be muksa. Kamash Milan, the din is that one may not, these things are muksa and you may not move it. The Gemara now says, Rav Chisda sharu l'adurei udra l'bei sadia v'shabasa. Rav Chisda tried doing as follows. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here that, see, Ezra says it's going in and out. I apologize. Did I not put it on speaker, maybe? Oh, it's on speaker. That's right. It is on speaker. Oh, now it's on speaker. I'm sorry. I see. Okay, I apologize, guys. So now it's on speaker. If those are still with me, I just saw this. So let's see. So the Gemara now says, again, Rav Chisda shari lahadure udra lebe sadi b'shabasa. So Rav Chisda tried accomplishing that he wanted to put, Rashi explained, lahadura udra lebe sadia lahachzir mochin shenaflu minakar letochem. That he had a pillow, and the stuffing of the pillow fell out, so then he put it back in, so he wanted to do, put the stuffing back in the pillow. So the Gemara says, so yesvei Rav Chanan bar Chisda l'Rav Chisda. So the son of Rav Chisda, actually I'm not sure if it's the same person, maybe not, but Rav Chanan bar Chisda asked to Rav Chisda, matirin beis hatzaver b'shabbos. So aval lo poskin vein nosin es hamochin lo l'toch hakar, lo l'toch hakeses b'yomtev. So he says that you're allowed to open up if the, you know, they used to sell their shirts. They would sew the opening, the tzavar, the neck area. They'd sew it up. So one is allowed to be matir, unsew it, remove the stitching. But you can't open it up. And for the first time, Rashi explains, matir and base tzavar is shader hakofsin lekoshin. When you would give your clothing to the launder, so oftentimes they tie the apparently the area by the neck up. So you're allowed to untie that on Shabbos. Aval lo, says Rashi, poskim l'chachila, the hashta avid leimana. But you can't open up for the first time when you buy it from the store and it was bought tied. For you to undo that on Shabbos is not allowed, because for the very first time that's a violation of a tikkun mana makab patish. So that's why it's aser. So the Gemara goes back inside and again says matirin beis atzaver b'Shabbos. You could untie the neck area on Shabbos, about lo poskim, but you can't open up for the very first time. And further, says the Braisa, vei nosin esat mochin lo tochakor. You can't place stuffing inside the inside a pillow, lo tochakeses, not inside a mattress. B'yamtev on yamtev vein tzarach lomer b'Shabbos, and needless to say on Shabbos either. So you see clearly from here that you cannot place, you cannot stuff the pillow. So how is Rav Chis able to stuff the pillow on Shabbos if the Braisa says you can stuff a pillow on Shabbos? And the Gemara says, lo kasha, there is no question, ha, the chadase, ha, batiki. One's a new one, and one is an old one. If you look at Rashi, very, very important Rashi, Rashi says, the chadasi, the new one, shelo hayu me'olam, l'toch aser, the hasha avid le'mana. A brand new pill that's never been used before, that's aser. You can't do that. But batiki, says Rashi, l'achziran l'kar, ze shenaflu mimenu. But to return it back to a pill that had it before, that would actually be permitted. So, again, for the first time, stuffing a pillow is a problem, but to restuff a pillow, that would be allowed. So this becomes a very, very important discussion. Today's Daf and Practice discussion on the All Daf app, I spoke about inflating a balloon, inflating a ball. Is that allowed? So everybody agrees that you can inflate a ball or a balloon for the very first time. But let's say it was already inflated, and you want to inflate it a second time. Is that going to be allowed? So the Midrash Yitzchak says you're not allowed to do that. Because here Rashi says clearly, batiki, the old pillows, lahachzir lakar, ze shenaflu mimenu, to return back the same exact stuffing, the same exact wool or feathers, whatever you use, the same exact can be put back in. But other, it sounds like from Rashi, other materials, wool or feathers that have never been there before, cotton that's never been there before, and that would be aser. So Minchas Yitzchak says, when I'm blowing up a balloon, that's different air, that's new air, that wasn't the same air that was there initially, and therefore he felt that would be a problem. But Rav Shlomo Zalman responds back and says, no, he thinks all air is considered the same. Even though it's different types of particles and different oxygen I'm breathing now than later on, he felt that all air in the world is considered one unit, and therefore he felt that one would be allowed to reinflate a balloon, reinflate a ball on Shabbos. Rav Yashiv agreed to the lumdis of Rav Shlomo Zalman that you're allowed to reinflate it, but he felt there's uvda d'chol and one should not do it. If a child needs a balloon or ball re-blown up, then let the child do it on their own. If you look at Tosas in the bottom here, Habachadasi Habatiki, Tosas writes, the very last Tosas, Omeri, Shim Nitko Chute Hasarbel, if a string something like shoelaces fell out in my neck of Rachava, and it's a very wide hole. V'yachol lachnison below Torah, you could put it back in very easily. Shari, you're allowed to put it back in. Kevin datiki, since it's an old shoelace or old whatever string or belt that fell out. As long as you put it in a loose way where you're not trying to tighten it and fasten it, it has to be something that's normally taken in and out, like a belt. A person in a belt and a pants, people take them off and on, so that's something that would be allowed. Because if it was something that was that's more permanent, that would be a problem. So some suggest that if, like a raincoat, let's say, when you put a belt in, no one takes the raincoat belts off and on. So you put it in once, it stays there pretty much forever, that would be a problem. But something that's meant to be taken on and off, such as a belt and a pair of pants, that would be permitted. Now, shoelaces becomes a big discussion. Can you put shoelaces in? So the post can understand that if it was a shoelace, that for the very first time you're lacing your shoes, that would be a problem of tikamana, you're fixing it now. But if it was something that fell out and you want to put it back in, that would seemingly be permitted. But in the end of the day, we're machmir that the person should not. We're machmir that if a shoelace was never put in before, that one should not put on for the very first time in Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman felt that maybe the room to be makeup is manazeh, because our shoes are made in such a way that you could still wear shoes even without the shoelace. So putting a shoelace in isn't really makeh patish. The definition of makeh patish is really only when you've made an item usable and it was once not usable before. So for example, I once heard a person ask a question, are putting stays in a collar, is that a violation of makeh patish? You're now completing your shirt. And the post can say, that's not makeh patish. A makeh patish only when you make something usable that wasn't once usable. So for example, when you buy your shirt for the very first time and it's stitched on top of the neck area, so when I open it up, that's now usable. That's makeh patish. I couldn't use it without that. But I can still use my shirt without stays. Stays might make my collar look more neat and kept out, but it doesn't make it not unusable without them. So here as well, Yashu says that without shoelaces, I can still wear my shoes. They're very usable. Maybe they're not as tight. Maybe they're not as comfortable, not as snug. But you're certainly allowed to still wear it. And people would wear them without shoelaces. But in the end of the day, Rav Yashu points out that it seems to be the minhag is the machmir, that a person should never put shoelaces in shoes for the very first time on Shabbos. Okay, let's go weiter now. Gemara now says, Tani Idach, we're around 8 lines up from the bottom here, 6 lines up, Tani Idach, Tani Nami Hachi, rather. The Braisa also says, E nosin es amochin, lo l'toch hakarv, lo l'toch hakeses. You should not place any of these stuffings, whether it's feather, wool, or cotton, inside a pillow or a mattress, b'yamtav, vein tarach lomer b'shabbos. Needless to say, on Shabbos you can't. Nashu, if they fell out, machzir naso b'shabbos, you could put it back on Shabbos, vein tarach lomer b'yamtav, and needless to say, you'd be allowed to return it back to on Yantav as well. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, HaPoseach Beis HaTzavar B'Shabbos, Chayv Chatas. A person who opens up a shirt for the very first time and undoes the stitching to allow it to be worn, that is a Chayv Chatas because of Makah B'Patish. As Rashi says, the last line here, Chayv Chatas Dahashta K'mashvi Le'manav. Now you're making this into a usable kli. The Chayv Mishum Makah B'Patish V'Hainu Gemar Malacha. Whenever you complete an action to make it usable, that's subject to Makah B'Patish. So the Gemara now says, Maskevla Rav Akana, going now on to Amud Beis, Ma Bein Zu Le Mugufas Chavis. Why is it any different than taking off a cover of a box, of a bottle? So Rashi says, what's Mugufas Chavis? Rashi in the very top says, Ma Bein Zu Le Mugufas Chavis, the Tani Reperk Chavis Shinishvara. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Vav teaches us. Maybe Adam, Chavis, who Matis is Rosh Basai, if you bring him some type of jug, some type of a barrel, and you cut off, slice off the top with a sword, you could just pop it right off. Umenichel Fnei Orcham and place it in front of the guest to eat. So why are you allowed to open that up, but you can't open up a shirt? And the Gemara says a very fundamental difference. Amalei Rava, Ze Chibor, Vze Eni Chibor. The difference, Rashi says, it's not in bold though. Rashi says 3 lines down from the top, Mugufa, Eina Menach Chavis Atzmo. The cover of the chavis is not part of the actual chavis. It's just a cap or cover that was put on tightly. The Alpha P Rashi says, even though Shadvukabo might be glued tightly onto it, Eino Chashiv Chibur, it's not considered connected. Sharei Linotel Omedes, it was meant to be removed. It was only temporary that you had glued the cover on until you're ready to eat it. Apparently, the way the shirts were made, they're woven all together as one cloth, and you had to undo the stitching, undo the weaving in order to make it usable. So that's the difference. So when it's really mamish unusable, it's made into one, so then it's awesome. But if it was really the gufis is something that's separate, a separate cover, then it would be allowed. So this becomes very, very relevant, of course, for the discussion of opening up bottle caps on Shabbos, the metal bottle caps and plastic bottle caps, whether they were one or whether they were separate. So one of the big distinctions of Shlomo Zalman's Mako when it comes to plastic bottle caps, others are also are machmir. Shlomo Zalman points out that since the way the plastic caps work, that little ring, that when you open up a soda bottle, so the ring gets separate from the bottle cap itself, he felt that that was already considered separate. Those are separate items, you just have to kind of pull it off and detach it. And therefore, it's no different than the caps we're talking about here in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Ches. When it comes to the metal bottle caps, it was made as one unit. When you break it off for the first time, that ring that you create from the metal cap is something new. It was attached initially, and by you twisting it off, that's creating something new, and therefore that's one of the reasons why there's a distinction between metal and plastic bottle caps. Again, this is part of a much larger discussion, but it's based on this Gemara, and this Gemara does appear a few other places in Shas, but this is the Iker place to start of whether a person could open up bottle caps and other types of bags on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says two lines down here on Mem Ches Amud Beis. Rami la Rabbi Yirmiya la Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya posed the following shaila to Rabbi Zeira. Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah that appears in Uksim, that shalal shel kofsim. A shalal, Rashi explains here, shel kofsim is darcham lishlo habegadim zemzem. They used to have the practice of connecting the begadim. Like when you go to the laundry, pick up your stuff in the dry cleaners, oftentimes they'll have like four shirts together, and they'll tie them together in one of those, I don't know how you, what you call them, but they tie together in somehow those, you know, bendy metal things, and they so you don't lose them. So Rashi says they used to do this back then as well. And darchem lishlal habegadim zem zeh, katanim im hagadolim, small articles of clothing with bigger articles of clothing, kadesh lo yovdu, so this way you don't get lost. It's much easier for them to put four shirts together as opposed to finding one and then two and three and four. It just makes things much easier to lump them together. So back to the Gemara. Tanam, shalal shakovsim, this little string that would connect the different shirts and pants, v'shalshelos samavtechos, or a little chain of keys, v'beged shu tafur beklaim, or beged that was sewed together with wool, begun that was sewed together with linen, even though you're not wearing them. The din is chibur l'tuma. The din is that that's considered connecting with respect to tuma. That if one of them gets tuma, the other one gets tuma as well. This little connection of the shalal or the shalshalas is considered a chibur, and if one gets tuma, the other one gets tuma as well. Ad sheyaskel lahatin, until you begin untying it, until you start removing the that which is connecting it. So Gemara says we see from here that. The Gemara's Medayik, Al Mashalobashas Hamlacha, Na Michibur. Even when you're not using it for Malacha, it's Mutta. So just look at Rashi just to make everything clear here. Rashi says that Beged Shetafru Beklein, Behein Shtei Chaticha Shebeged Semer Shetafru Bechut Shepisham. You have two wool clothing, and you would sew together, being held by some linen string. Devane Sofili Kari. For sure you end up ripping it. Because he parried zemizet to separate the two shirts, bishum iser klaim, because you're not going to wear them with the iser linen. So of course the linen is going to come off. V'chein shalal shel kofsim, the sofen sparred, so too the string that's attaching the different articles of clothing from the laundromat, from the dry cleaners. V'afil hachi chibur l'tuma v'mnimto zednit v'zeb. And even though you end up taking off in the end, still it serves as a chibur. So then the Gemara says, Rashi says further, Achi yaskol lehatin, until you begin untying it, de maisa moti miad maisa. A maisa undoes something, v'chemin shehischil lehatir, galia de maisa, de lav chad begadhu. My machshava alone, if these things are tied together, that's called chibur. Now if I decide in my mind to untie them, that machshava is not enough to undo the chibur. I actually need to do a maisa to undo the chibur. And therefore when you begin untying it, that's already when the maisa kicks in and they're no longer considered connected anymore. So then the Gemara says in Madaik that it's only true that these things are connected b'shas melacha. But shelo b'shas melacha, which Rashi says, that shelo b'shas, I'm sorry, it's also tameh, it's also chibur during shas melacha. So Rashi says shelo b'shas melacha could go in shalal shel kofsim, shel hutzrich l'sholo ela mishim shas akibus. The only reason why the launderer would tie these different begadim together is when he's cleaning it, so they stay together. When he turns it back home, I don't need it in my house anymore.
I don't need them connected. It's not for me. It's for the launderer's benefit. So he has an easy time just giving it back to me. But when it's in my house, I don't need them sewed together. And even though it's no longer necessary, the Gemara says, it's still chibur until I've actually started to remove it. So says Rashi, it's still called a chibur even after the laundry has taken place. So we see that again, Alma says the Gemara, shelo b'shas mlacha, na mi chibur. So in light of that, he says, wait a second, we're minu. We have another Gemara that tells us elsewhere, a Mishnah Maseches Kelim, that says when it comes to a makel, some type of wood, some type of stick, she'asa yad l'kordom, that was made as part of the handle of an axe, chibur l'tumah b'shas mlacha. It's considered a chibur to the axe itself, to the metal blade, as long as it's during the malacha. But b'shas malacha in the Gemara's Madaik, but shlo b'shas malacha lo. But when you don't need it anymore, then even though it's connected, it's not subject to chibur. So we have two steers in the Mishnayos. One Mishnah tells us in Meseches Uksin, and Parah as well, that the din is that shlo b'shas malacha, when something's connected, it's still chibur. But the Mishnah Kalim says, if it's shlo b'shas malacha, it's not chibur anymore. So what's the answer? And so the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rabbi Zeir answers Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hasam over there, Shalom B'Shas Melacha, Adam Asar Lizark L'Bein Na'itim. When it comes to the handle of the axe, when the guy doesn't need it anymore, when the Melacha is over, the guy plans on just throwing it out. Getting rid of it, throwing it amongst all the other pieces of wood that are broken. But here, Hacha, Shalom B'Shas Melacha, Nami Nichle. Here, by the launderer, the clothing that's been sewed together, even when it's not b'shas malacha, it still provides a purpose when they're connected. If, let's say, they get dirty, you bring them back and somehow the clothing gets dirty again, you send them back to the launderer, and therefore there is a benefit for them still being connected. So as long as it's still connected and you haven't worn it yet, that the fact that they're sewed together can be beneficial. When it comes to when you finish doing the malacha with the axe, that wood already has been used, it's already been taken care of, and therefore, even though it's still physically connected, halachically, it's not connected, since there is no purpose for it anymore, and all you do is plan on throwing it with the rest of the garbage and the bad pieces of wood. So the Gemara now says, a little bit less than halfway down the Amud here, that the Surah Masi Lala Hashmaisa Bishmei de Rav Chista. In Surah, they taught the following statement in the name of Rav Chista, and Bapumpadisa Masi Mishmei de Rav Kana, they taught in the name of Rav Kahana, but Amila others say Mishmei de Rava, as follows. Man Tana Hamilsa Dama Rabbanan, who is the one who holds that Kola Mechuber Lo Harehu Kimahu? Anything that's connected has the same din as itself. That chibur alone, a physical connection, takes on the same status. They all transfer all the halachas. Who is the author? Am Rabbi Huda, Am Rav, Rabbi Meir. We're about to see in the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir is the one who says that when something's connected, when there's a chibur, then we view both items as being the same. So how do we see Rabbi Meir hold this way? The Tanan, the Mishnah, tells the Mishnah, Maseches Kelim Perkei, Beis HaPach, Beis HaTavlin, Beis HaNer, Shebekira, you have different types of kalim. It's kalim that Rashi just points out here, that we're talking about a kira. Look at Rashi. Beis hapach, beis hatavlin, ubeis haner, shebekira. Kira zu metal telesi. It has to be a kira that is movable. Umuchobarin lo kli charis katanim, and within it there's some different other materials. Because we're about to talk about tumah. Now, if a kira is considered mechub lakarka, we have a din that which is mechub lakarka is not tamah, can't become tamah. So it has to be a case where the kira itself is movable. So it's a kira that's movable. And you have these kalim that are inside. So one's a type of kalim that's used for oil, and one used for spices, one used for the candle. So you have this din, back inside the Gemara. Beis hapach, beis hatavlin, beis haner, shebekira, mitamin b'maga, ve mitamin b'avir, divrei Rabbi Meir. That they're only tamay through maga, but not tamay through avir, through the airspace. So what does that mean? So the Gemara, Rashi explains around six narrow lines up, Mitamim b'maga, im nafla tuma b'aviron, ola avir hakira. If some type of sheretz or some type of tuma falls into the airspace of either the kira, the oven, or the airspace of any of these kalim that are also in the oven, the naga tuma, and the item also touches the shuli hakira, the bottom of the kira, nitmu gamelu. If it touches, if this maga touches the kira, it's mitame the other kalim. O naga tuma l'shulem, or if it touches the bottom of Shal Elu, the other Kalim, Nitmu Hakira. So this is a situation where these small Kalim are all touching the Kira. So since they're touching each other, there's Chibur. If it touches the Kira, the Kalim are Tamei. If it touches the Kalim, the Kira are Tamei. So we see here that there's Tumas Maga with regards to these Kalim and the Kira. But then Rashi says, "Ve'ema tamin betumas akira kulomar betumas ha'avir." But let's say the tumah is only in the airspace. Sheim nafal sheretz ba'avir akira, if it falls in the airspace of the kira, but doesn't touch it, v'lo naga tumah bedof nahi tameya. So then the kira is tameh because it's in the avir. The din is by kli cheres, by other types of materials, for a keli to become tameh, that it has to touch the actual keli. By kli cheres, we're talking about a kira that's a kli cheres, and the other kelim are also kli cheres. So the din is, even if it's in the airspace, it will be metameh the kira. But the here is, it's only metameh kli cheres and metameh ba'avir, v'hein tahorim. But the other kelim will be remain tahor. She'ein, says Rashi, she'ein mechibor la elal inin maga. That when we say that these items, these kelim are touching the kira, it's only with respect to a tumas maga, that the sheretz touches the kira, so then memela, the other kelim are tameh. Or if the sheretz touches the kelim, so then the kira tameh as well. But if it only goes into the airspace, so then it's only metameh the item that it's in the airspace of, but it won't be metameh the other item. So if it's in the airspace of the keli, so then the keli is tameh, not the kira. But if it's in the airspace of the kira, so then the kira is tameh, but not the clay cheres. But we see either way, and we'll clarify this in just a moment in the Gemara, the Rav Meir does hold of some level of chibur. That if items are touching each other, the tumah, at least tumas maga, can transfer. So back inside the Gemara, this is all divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon is matar. Rabbi Shimon says this is a tara, this case. That just because the kli cheres, just because rather the kira is tameh, it will not be matameh the kalim, and vice versa. So the Gemara explains all this. Bishma, this makes sense to Rabbi Shimon, why Rabbi Shimon says that each one is independently tahor, kasavar lav kakira damu, that the kalim are not like the kira, and just because the kira becomes tameh, it does not mean that the kalim are tameh, and so too, if the kalim become tameh, it does not mean that the kira will become tameh, because he does not hold the chibur. Elul Rabbi Meir, e kakira damu, if he holds that the kalim itself become part and parcel of the kira itself, then afilu b'avir nami l'tameh. Then if the sheret is in the airspace of the kira, it should be matami the kalim as well. And if it's in the airspace of the kalim, it should be matami the kira. You should say either they're both tamei, the tumas maga and tumas avir. And ilaf kakira dami, and if he holds that the kalim that are connected to the kira are not like the kira, then afil b'maga nami lo latami. Then the case of the tumas maga, then the kalim shouldn't become tamei just because it touched the kira. So either you say it's chibur both in tumas maga and tumas avir, or you say it's not chibur both in tumas maga and tumas avir. But how can you say tumas maga it is chibur and tumas avir it's not chibur? And so the Gemara says li olam really lav kakira dami. Really, when the kalim are touching the kira, they're not really like the kira. They're considered separate utensils. Rabbanan hu the gazer b'hu, but the Rabbanan made a gzeira that there's going to be, we'll view this as a tumas derabbanan when it comes to chibur. So the Gemara says, if they made a gzeira that we're going to view the kalim as part of the kira, so then afil ba'avir nami l'tamir. So then they should have said, just like with regards to tumas maga, they created tumas mederabbanan, there should also be a tumas mederabbanan by tumas avir of the kalim and the kira. And the Gemara says, as we oftentimes does when it comes to tumah, the avdu b'hu rabbanan hekeira. The Chacham wanted to make the distinction that people should realize that this tumas chibur is only tumah mederabbanan. Because if we were to say that this tumas maga and tumas avir, people would think, oh, it must be tumah deraisa. And what would happen? Who cares if it's tumah deraisa? Either way, it's tameh, because kihecha de lo asi lemisaf alea chuma v'kachim. In order that people don't end up burning chuma and kachim, meaning that let's say the kira becomes tameh, and then we say that the kalim are also tameh, and now the kalim come into contact with chuma or kachim, and we're going to say, oh, the kachim and chuma are tameh, let me burn the chuma and kachim. But that's wrong, because this tumah of the tumah schibur from the kira to the kalim is only tumah mederbanam. A tumah mederbanam that contaminates chuma and kachim is not enough of a tumah to burn them. You can't eat them because it's tumah mederbanam, but you can't burn it either until it becomes, until it gets a real tumah deraisa. You have to let it just sit there. So they want people to realize that this tumas chibur is only derabanan, and therefore to prove that point, to make that clear, it only goes there tumas maga by the kalim in the kira, but they were not goes there tumas avir with the kalim and the kira. Let's continue and finish this braisa. The Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan mas poris shaprakum. If you have a scissor that's made of different parts where they could be detached, the Ismail shiritani, some type of a little knife or a razor that was used, they describe, Rashi explains, they'd use it to make some type of door, and when they use it, it was very disposable, so they'd throw it out after it was finished. So, chibur latuma, vein chibur lahazah. So these items, either the ismal as part of this particular instrument, or the scissors that have blades that can be detached. So when they are detached, when they're rather attached, it's chibur l'tuma vein chibur l'azav, which means if one of the blades of the scissor becomes tame, it touches sheretz, so the other one also. If the ismel touches sheretz, so the whole instrument will become tame. But it's only chibur with respect to tuma. But ain chibur l'azav, if they're tame mace, and you want to now make it tahor, so you know you have to go take the paraduma and burn it and put it in the water, and then you sprinkle it on top of the item, that's tame. So if you sprinkle it on one of the scissor blades, it will not be a chibur to the other blade. So with respect to tuma, there's a chibur, the tuma will transfer, but with respect to hazah, hazah will not transfer from one blade to the other. And so Gemara asks the obvious question, manavshach, I chibur, if these things are considered connected to each other, afil hazah nami, then it should be sufficient in terms of the hazah transferring from one blade to the other. And ilav chibur, if we don't view these things as chibur, but since they are detachable, afilu tuma nami los, and we shouldn't allow the tuma to transfer either from one blade to the next blade. Either there's chibur across the board, or there's not chibur across the board. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav, Rav says, davar Torah b'shas malacha chibur. The din mederaisa is when it's being used, when the scissors are being used and they're attached, when the razor is being used and it's attached, that everyone agrees it's chibur, bein latuma, bein laza. If one blade gets tame, the other blade is tame. If one blade gets the haza, the mele laza passes over to the other blade as well. But we're talking about shalom b'shas malacha, when it's not being used, eino chibur, lo latuma, lo laza. When it's not being used, so then the fact that they're touching each other is not enough, there is no chibur, the tuma shouldn't pass, neither should the haza pass. But nonetheless, came along the Gemara on the top of Mem Pesem and Aleph. We'll go a couple lines down here and stop at the two dots. The Gazu Rabbanan al Tuma Shlo B'Shas Malacha Mishum Tuma Shlo B'Shas Malacha. There it goes there that even Shlo B'Shas Malacha, they said the Tuma will transfer. Even though the Deraisa, if it only touches one of the blades, it should not pass to the other blade, Shlo B'Shas Malacha. But they were confused. They were concerned people would get confused and say, oh, just like it's not Tumas Chibur, Shlo B'Shas Malacha, it's also not Chibur, B'Shas Malacha. And because that, there it goes there, that when it comes to Tuma, we should always say that there's Chibur, and Tuma transfers. With respect to Hazah, however, Val Hazah, Shlo B'Shas Malacha, Mishum Hazah, Shlo B'Shas Malacha. When it comes to Hazah of being Metaher it, they said, you know what? We don't want it to, even though B'Shas HaMelacha Hazah will really transfer from one to the next, it really is Chibur, there goes that not, it won't transfer, and you have to do each blade separately, because they're concerned that if you thought B'Shas HaMelacha Hazah does transfer, there is Chibur, one might think even Shalom B'Shas HaMelacha, the Hazah should transfer, and that doesn't work, that's not true. So in order for people not to think that, they said in all instances, Hazah does not transfer from one blade to the next blade. Okay, we will stop here, and everyone have a wonderful day.